podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on psychology, I want to continue on, well, the logic that I've been having in the last few weeks' episodes. So as a way to resituate you, I think coming from having spoken about inflammation and chronic inflammation, transitioning into stress through that, and ending up with talking about how the Ayurvedic principles were created when there was this disruption from the natural flow of living with the law of nature, I came on to speaking about trauma. Because at the end of the day, trauma is disruption of the natural flow in you when it happens. And on the macro level, this change of how we were living was a trauma in itself. Because what trauma does is that it changes the core essence. So it changes us as people, it changes our personality from before the event and after the event. And that's exactly what happened on the global scale. Now, as I spoke about trauma a couple of weeks ago, I then adopted that idea into how we get ourselves out of balance from the Ayurvedic perspective. And it had me mention something that we call compensatory strategies, and how we are misled very often due to trauma when it comes to these strategies, because we believe, even sometimes, that we're doing them as a way to bring ourselves back to balance, whereas what we're actually doing is to make it worse. And the reason for that is because there's a deep downlying belief that we need to adopt them in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, because actually we don't trust our own instinct and just allowing for the natural to go. And so I wanted to speak about this from the psychological perspective today, linking all of this so that you, well, first of all, can see more clearly where you're coming from, so that you can be more compassionate with yourself on your own journey, and more than that, can develop your empathy for the people around you when you look at them and you see that what you're looking at is the open book of who they are, is the blueprint of their life, trying to simply move forward, trying to be loved, to belong, by using different ways around them in order to get the results that they think they believe to obtain. And I guess where I should start this is that if when we speak about compensatory strategies, we are actually coming from psychology, from cognitive psychology, really, because it's a question of behavior. And so these strategies can be absolutely conscious and implemented consciously as a way to deal with a trauma, deal with an injury, for instance, that has left lesions on the brain. So a compensatory strategy is a technique or a modification to our behavior or to the environment that we are used to compensate for a deficit, for a weakness, an injury, or perceived inadequacy in a specific area or skill. So for instance, this is something that can be used in speech therapy. And this is something that can be used when there's been an injury to the brain and we need to relearn certain, actually reflexes even, such as swallowing. But if you look back at and look into really this definition, you can also see the other layer there, the subconscious habit that is being created from this perceived inadequacy in a specific area or skill. So it's a subconscious habit that's been created coming from the unconscious beliefs of ourselves and of the world, which is really, of course, this, from the yogic perspective, ignorance, the veil of ignorance that shields us from seeing our own true nature. And so why would I link this then to trauma? Well, I really like the definition or a definition of trauma from Gabor Mate, that it's a psychic wound that hardens you psychologically and then interferes with your ability to grow and develop. It pains you and then you're acting out of pain. It induces fear, and then you're acting out of fear. Trauma is not what happens to you. It's what happens inside you as a result of what happened to you. Trauma is the scarring that makes you less flexible, more rigid, less feeling, and more defended. What this means is the perceived inadequacy, right? When something happens to us that changes us profoundly, we therefore have this incredible capacity of resilience, actually, to develop a habit, a new behavior that we make into a habit, I should say, a new behavior that we make into a habit, in order to compensate for the changes that came through the event that changed us. So please see that this is an enormous capacity of survival, of resilience, that makes us so strong to a certain extent. If we just look at it from this perspective, you can see this, I hope, which is why we become so blind to our own behavior, which is why developing these strategies coming from the unconscious belief that happens through the traumatic event, we're acting out of ignorance, if you will. And which is what ends up as this self-sabotaging behavior that we have when we're acting out. I was actually having, in a session with one of my patients, the conversation around something that happened in the past where this person had reacted in a way of choosing to perceive the situation in a helpless way, let's say, a little bit of a defeatist way. And now, as an adult, looking back at the situation, being somewhat angry with themselves because they acted so helplessly, and wondering, is this what then defined my relationship to other human beings later on in life? I had to resituate them in the fact that at the event, from the perspective that we are, when we are maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, we evaluate the situation and we take action. We choose the way we want to experience this so that we can continue. So this means that in that moment, there was already a strategy being put into place, which means that this child was so resilient, so strong in that moment, knowing I need to perceive the situation in this way, to position myself to this other person who has hurt me in a way that I will be able to continue and to feel safe and good in my own home, for instance. I want to take the opportunity to mention my online program for you. It's a program dedicated to healing all kinds of typical illnesses that we find in modern days, from chronic fatigue, anxiety, digestive issues, weight gain, weight loss, insomnia, and everything in between. Now, I've put this together in a way that we assure success through 3 individual consultations with me, 8 group sessions with a whole group, and educational material for you to digest whenever you can and want to. We work on healing whatever you want to heal, take care of whatever needs seem to be unmet in your organism, or even without trying to heal something specific, finding the perfect routine that works for you. If you are seeking to find more balance in your life, if you keep yo-yoing in how you're feeling physically, mentally, or emotionally, and never being able to really see how that stabilizes, then this program is for you. Get in touch with me either through my website, yogisha.com, or send me directly an email, charlotte@yogisha.com. And we'll jump on a call to talk about it more. Thank you for listening. Back to the episode. So instead of being angry with oneself and feeling, why should I be so helpless. Look at the child being resilient and strong. And what that does, it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change how it became a trauma. It changes how we perceive it today. And what that does is that it creates a pathway out of the frozenness, of the freezer situation that the person put themselves in. It means, if I come back to Mate's definition of trauma, that the pain and acting out of pain can therefore be inversed. The fear and acting out of fear can be healed when I perceive the situation differently. There are no lies. So it's not a question of lying to oneself. There's no fooling, because you wouldn't be able to fool yourself. What it is lifting this veil of ignorance so that the person can actually witness the past clear-mindedly. But what I want you to see with all this is that it's natural for us to keep looking at the situation or looking at ourselves or identifying ourselves with our past experiences, because it is the blueprint, it is the sum of all the past of our life, which then continues defining how we see ourselves and therefore adopt the compensatory strategies in most of our actions. So if I'm angry with myself because I have been acting powerless and making myself feel helpless in the past, which created therefore this perception of ignorance that I am someone who does not have power, someone who is basically exposed helplessly to other people's wishes to do with me what they want, and that my best strategy out of that is to freeze and just let them do what they want to do, then naturally, as an adult, with this ignorant perspective of myself, this flawed idea of my own capacity, I will naturally make choices where I use some kind of strategy in order to reassure myself that I get the result that I wish for. So to take, for instance, the example that I had about just such a simple thing as drinking coffee in order to compensate for low energy levels. If we would imagine potentially that the low energy levels comes from exhaustion, depletion, for overdoing it, but that overdoing it comes from the belief that I am deep down powerless, I feel helpless, powerless to what other people seemingly stronger, more dominant than me, what their wishes are, and that they are capable of doing whatever they want to me, then that coffee drinking becomes so much more than just feeling alert in the day. Which means that if I decide to continue beating myself up even though I'm already laying down, and then imposing extreme things such as you stop drinking your coffee today or this and that, whatever it might be, stopping the cigarettes, stopping the alcohol, then that can actually come in, of course, and reinforce the feeling of helplessness and powerlessness, which is to a certain extent what we in clinical psychology would call the return of the trauma. Which is why, when that happens, sometimes people can seem to have, even to themselves, because they don't understand it, extreme or exaggerated reactions to something seemingly quite harmless. But if you don't understand that that exaggerated reaction is not exaggerated, where it's coming from, then you're not helping yourself anyway, because what that turns into is, oh, you know, just snap out of it, get over yourself. It really comes back to those words, know thyself, as your first step on the journey towards self-realization, towards releasing yourself from the veil of ignorance, let's say, from the suffering that all of that does to you. And it begins with inquiring. It begins with curiosity and awareness. You see, the difference between imposing on yourself to stop doing drinking coffee, whatever it might be, stop doing that thing, the difference between that and, I'm going to be aware of what is happening inside of me when I feel the drive, really, the drive that moves me to have that coffee or whatever it might be, and what is lying beneath it. When I become extremely present so that I'm using my awareness to see what is happening in the moment, and instead of judging myself, I become curious to what is really going on, then I already begin the healing, because I'm not approaching with more inflicting the sense of powerlessness and helplessness on me. Now, this is really challenging to just do on your own, for sure. And this is why things are done progressively. And this is why we tend to seek a guidance when we do this, because we need help, because we've been practicing, obviously, these kind of behaviors for the past 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, you know what I mean, your whole life. You are so much more complex than you believe yourself to be. I mean, modern medicine has just, in the last 10 years, not even, begun to understand how much more complex we are when it comes to our health, which obviously makes the Ayurvedic practitioners and doctors roll their eyes, because Ayurveda has been saying that for the past 5,000 years at least. There's more than what meets the eye. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time.